Hello, it's August
18th,
Monday. Welcome to Dallas.
See what happens when you put your dad on.
Once again, good evening.
Good evening.
And as usual, it is so nice to see so many gods and goddesses collected in one room. There are tons of gods and goddesses out there, you know. It's hard to get them together in one room, and we have them together in one room. Now, I hope that's finally sinking in to your mind, to your consciousness, that you truly are a god or a goddess, because you are one with this thing that we call God. You are one with the universe itself. Everything that the universe is, everything that God is, you are. You have all those wonderful qualities. You have the creativity of God. So we want to realize that, and we want to know that we can use it. We also want to get out of our consciousness any embarrassment when we say, I am God, or I am one with God. Do not allow yourself to be embarrassed by that. Now, I don't suggest you run out the street and scream that. They'll pick you up and put you away. But you should realize for your own self that you are a god or goddess. Now, this month we're talking about giving up your story. Every one of us has a story that we tell ourselves constantly. So this came just this morning, and I thought it was very apropos because yesterday I had a young person come to my house desperately because he was feeling bad about himself and was feeling bad about this. And it all boiled down to he was invited to a wedding in New York, and it was too much time and money, and he felt bad about that. And what are the people going to say? And I said, well, this poor boy, very nice, but he's a people pleaser. And he wants approval from everybody. So I explained that to him. And I also said, you know, if you don't have the money, don't spend it. You have to think of yourself. If you spend your money going to a wedding in New York and come back home and don't have the money to pay the rent, there's something not right with that. So this came out, that was yesterday. So here today, Monday, August the 18th, I am whole and complete just as I am. We all want to be appreciated and loved by others, but a need for approval can be a stumbling block. And we have been, or I have been, around people that desperately need approval. Wears me out. Wears me out. We don't want to do that to people. We want to be free of people, and we want people to be free of us so that we can be who we are. We do not want to be out there looking for approval all the time. On my spiritual path, I learned that my priority is to be true to myself. It's always going to boil down to that. Many times as I tell you people that you're one with God and this, that, and the other thing, it boils down to you must be true to yourself. You know, you're always concerned. You must be always concerned about yourself. If you're not feeling right about yourself and you don't approve of yourself and you don't love yourself, very difficult to show that to other people, to love other people, or to get along in this world, you see. Learn to love yourself. It's the top priority. I tell you all the time, everything is done in mind, and we're always talking about mind, but we're talking about your mind. And what is your mind saying to you? Is it a loving mind? Does your mind love you? You see. You must train your mind to love you. You must train your mind to love you. We're not taught that as children. We certainly didn't get that in any of the institutions that I were in, and I meant spiritual institutions, not mental hospitals. We never heard that. We didn't hear it from our family or anybody. So you have to learn to love yourself. I'm an expression of God in this form, body, and mind. I am all I need to be. By being true to myself, I may or may not garner the admiration or approval of others, but ultimately I will gain much more. You see, you can't go after the approval of other people or the approval of the world. You have to give yourself that and approve of your own self. I pray to fully love myself as I am, to accept the love of God, to appreciate my gifts and the unique desires in my heart. How many times have we said this? You're a unique expression of this thing called God. Unique expression. Each and every one of us is expressing God. Or you can say that God is expressing through us. So learn to love yourself. I am here to live the life I have been given. And this is very, learn to appreciate your life and love the life that you are living. So many people are just living, but they're not appreciative, and they do not love life, and they do not love themselves. Very hard to drag through this world not loving yourself. So learn to do that. As I learn to love myself more, my need for admiration and outside approval diminishes. You see, you have to learn to love yourself instead of thinking, oh, if everyone loves me, then that must, you see. And where did we, how do we know that that is true, especially since last week Robin Williams killed himself? Everyone loved Robin Williams. But he did not love himself. He did not love himself enough and appreciate himself enough. He never allowed that to come inside of him, to be him, you see? And this is what happens with most people. When you look at especially the celebrities and so forth that have taken their own lives, they had everything going for them, except they didn't appreciate themselves and they didn't love themselves. Another one that comes to mind is Marilyn Monroe. She wanted somebody to love her. And that was we start out that way in life. We want people to love us. We want people to love us. And we forget to love ourselves. We forget to love ourselves. So when somebody rejects you and the love that you think they're giving to you, you get very depressed. And you eventually kill yourself. It has to do with self-love. I am whole and complete just as I am. Think of that. You are whole and complete just the way you are. You don't need anything added to you. This is the problem. People think, oh, well, if I had this, 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 then things would be better for me. But they're not going to be better. The only way you're ever going to get better is to learn to love yourself. And I think that is an absolute top priority. And not enough people in the world love themselves. They participate in this thing called life, but they don't love themselves. How many parents, mothers and fathers, love their children, but they don't love themselves? You know? You have to learn to love yourself. You have to learn to appreciate yourself. Now, why is that so important? It's so important because when you first start out with that big statement, all I am is God, but I am not all that God is. I am God. So if you know that you are God or some part of God, I don't care how you look at it, then you have to love yourself. Otherwise, if you don't love yourself, you don't love God. I used to say that loving yourself was the highest form of love that you could give God. When you love yourself, you're loving God. You see? So learn to appreciate yourself. Learn to love yourself. And learn to give up any story to the contrary that you are telling yourself. We're all telling ourselves little stories. And we have to learn to see those stories and give them up. If they're not serving us, and most of the stories we're telling ourselves, I can assure you, are not serving us. You see? And what are some of those things that we live in this storytelling thing? We tell ourselves we're too young, we're too old, we're too fat, we're too thin, we're not good looking enough, we don't have the right talent, we don't have the right creativity, we don't have the... All that is a lie, and it's a story that you're making up. You have to let go of the story. You have to let go of the story. And if you're waiting for somebody to tell you to let go of it, give that idea up too. If you're waiting there and thinking, well, didn't happen this week and didn't happen this year, but next year somebody's going to love me. That's putting your life on hold. You can't do that to yourself. You have to start right here, right now, this very moment, to love yourself. And I'll use this word, and the hell with everybody else. Learn to love yourself. You know, and we didn't grow up that way. I think I've told you the story when I was a Boy Scout. The motto for the Boy Scouts was God first, others second, and self third. And that's a whole thing there. We always put ourselves last. And in this teaching, we have to first love ourselves. We love ourselves, then we're able to love somebody else. And when we're able to love ourselves and somebody else, then we're able to love this thing that we call God. But till then, we cannot do it, you see. And I see brand name churches packed with people who say they love God. And they're mean, hateful people. They're mean, hateful people. So give up any story about yourself that holds you back. We can say anything we want about ourselves. So why don't we say good things about ourselves? Why would we ever say anything negative? You see? And there we have things and thoughts in our mind. Oh, I'm not. You have to let those go, you see. You have to let all those negative thoughts about yourself, just let them go. You're telling yourself a story. You're telling yourself a story. And I hear this when people come to visit me and so forth. I hear all the stories that they're telling. They don't know it's a story, you know. I've always been this way, people will say to me. Well, we never had money, so I'm not planning on having any money. Please, people, plan to have money. Plan on it. You know, money never hurt anything, you see. When people say that, oh, money will make you bad or evil or corrupt you, say to yourself, I'd like to try it. I don't mind being corrupted a little bit here and there. It's the money. We need the money. But we tell ourselves story. Oh, somebody else can do it, but I can't. Oh, they're more creative than I am. They can start this. They can do that, but I can't do it. If anyone can do anything, then everyone can do everything. Remember, this thing we call God does not show favorites. It does not show favorites. What God can do for one, God can do for all. And you have to remember that. What God can do for others, God can do for me. And God, when, however you want to look at God, is very eager to do that for you. Very, very eager to do it. God wants to give you the kingdom. God wants to give you everything. And we keep thinking, oh no, I'm not good enough for it. That's a story you're telling yourself. You are absolutely good enough to have everything. Absolutely. You see, because you are this thing itself. You are this thing that we call God. So you have to learn to love yourself and give up the story that tells you that that can't be so. It can be so. And when you make it so, you grow closer and closer to this thing, this consciousness of God, or a God consciousness, your life improves immensely. your life will absolutely turn on a dime once you accept the fact that you are telling yourself a story, and once you accept the fact that you are absolutely lovable. You are absolutely lovable. Where we got that idea that we're not lovable is beyond me. We have to be lovable people. I only know lovable people, you know, now, years ago. I didn't know lovable people. And I associated with people that weren't very loving. I don't have them in my life anymore. You know, they just evaporated. They disappeared into the ether. And I'm delighted with that. I don't want all that negativity around me. And I don't want unlovable people around me. I want people that love themselves, love other people, and love this life. Love this life that we're living, you see? Now, some people say, well, this go around, I'm maybe not doing so well. Next time, you don't know if there's going to be a next time. You know, you can buy into the reincarnation if you wish. Very intriguing reincarnation. But who, know anyone that came back? No, I haven't run into anybody that's come back. No. I often say to them, have you been here before? No. No, you can't. You it's very funny that people think they're going to get a second chance. I think we're always going to get a second chance because this thing called God never gives up on us. But on this plane of action, in this go-around, in this life, make it the very best life you know how to do. Make it the very best life. And make so much more sense to me. You don't have to come to this class or go to a church and stuff to realize that you feel much better when you're loving. You feel much better when you're loving. I mean, that's just common sense, isn't it? You don't need somebody to tell you that. You ought to be able to figure that out yourself. Well, if I'm nice, look what happens. Nice people come into my life. If I'm not nice, look at those people that come into my life. You see, because our consciousness always matches, doesn't it? It draws people to us of like mind. What do you think that expression means? People of like mind. If you want to look at it this way, it's the old thing, birds of a feather flock together. See, that's a metaphysical statement, by the way. Birds of a feather flock together. People of like mind stay together. They work together. So, if you're telling yourself a story that doesn't live up to these standards, give it up. And you can do that. You know, it doesn't take 20 years on the couch in therapy to give up these ideas. You have to make up your mind to do it. Back to the young man who came on Sunday. He said, well, I worry. You'll love this one. I worry because I don't know if I made the right decision. I said, you should pat yourself on the back because you made a decision. The problem that most people have in life, they cannot make a decision. But once you make a decision, the whole universe comes and backs you up in that decision. The whole universe. You knew that from Raymond Charles Barker. The whole universe comes. It will not do anything while you're vacillating back and forth and back and forth. The universe says, wow, that person's vacillating. Let them vacillate. You see? But if you make a decision, the universe, oh, I have to respect that decision. I have to do something about that decision. And then this young man said to me, well, you know, I worry. I just worry, worry, worry. And of course, I said to him, he doesn't know. I said, do you know what Jesus said about that? And he said, no. I said, he said, worry will not add one cubit to you. You see, we were taught, or I was taught as a child, if you put worry into it, you get a better product. You get a better something. You have to worry a little bit, and then that means something. It means it's worth. See, who made that up? I mean, isn't that a horrible way to think and do? You can't do that to yourself, this worry thing. So he said, well, how can I get out of it? I said, well, you notice that you're worrying, then stop it. And tell yourself, I always remain calm, cool, collected, poised, and serene in all situations. Like it just looks at me blank faced. I don't know if the boy, maybe 30, I don't know what his age was. But at 30, you should know something. To go through life with the worry habit, very tedious, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And doesn't it wear you out? And it gets you absolutely nowhere, you know. There's no proof anywhere, scientifically or non-scientifically, that worry does anything, produces anything. It doesn't. When you're worrying, you're like the hamster on the wheel. You just keep going around and around and around and around and around. And you get nowhere. You get nowhere. So you have to get off the wheel. When you want to give up something and you notice, well, I'm worrying. Well, then you have to set yourself down and say to you, this is no longer me. I'm not going to tell myself this story anymore. I'm not going to buy into this story. Now, I do believe the young man also said to me, well, my mother always worried. I said, are you your mother? He said, no. I said, well, then why are you doing it? It's a habit that he picked up. Most of the things are habits that we pick up. And we can get rid of habits, you see. We can get rid of any habit that we have. And we can make ourselves into anything that we want to become. Has no, please give up the idea that, oh, I'm this way because of my family, or I'm this way because of genes, or I'm this way because, you're the way you are because of your thinking. Stop thinking that way. Well, everyone in my family, well, I don't care. I don't care about your family, you know. I have nothing bad to say about my family. But I can tell you, they were no day at the beach. They were no day at the beach. But I recognized that. And I said, huh, that's their life and that's the way they directed their life. It's not going to be the way I'm going to direct my life. I'm not going to do that to myself. Those people had no idea what they were doing. They were just imitating their parents. And they thought what they were doing was wonderful. And for them it was. But I don't want to do it that way. You see, I gave up that story that I'm Almondel's son. You see, it goes back to the thing. Do you remember when they came for Jesus in the temple? When he was left behind and they said to him, your mother and father are outside waiting for you. And he looked at them and said, who calls themselves my mother and father? You're saying, who calls themselves my mother and father? Yes, they're your earthly mothers and fathers. But you have to raise up in consciousness and say, no. My father is this higher consciousness. My father is this thing that we refer to as God. That does not diminish my earthly parents. It does not diminish my earthly parents. But it gives me, and it will give you, a whole new perspective on it. Because if you're down here thinking mother and dad and this and that and family and the you, that consciousness is at this level. And you cannot get out of it with that thinking. The only way you can move up in consciousness is to say, yes, I had a mother and father, I had an earthly mother and father, and they were nice people, and they did the very best they knew how to do. But my father, this thing we call God, knows much more. And when I take on the qualities of that father, when I take on the qualities of that, now I have changed my life, you see. But so many people are afraid to give up their past, to give up this connection that they have with family. And I'm not saying that I'm going to go home, call up your relatives and tell them you're not going to see them anymore. What I'm saying is try to move your consciousness up, try to move your thinking up to a higher level. Yes, I had earthly parents, but I also have a heavenly father, if you want to put it that way. And I can use that, and I can see those qualities. I think I told you this years ago, because everything I tell you, I've told you. But we have this expression on this plane of action: the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That means that I'm like my earthly father. But I say, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And I'm up here. This is my tree. This thing called God is my tree. And I am the apple that fell. You see? Now, bigger and better possibilities have just opened up, haven't they? Now you can't say, well, my father could never do that, so therefore I can't do it. Earthly father. But when you know your heavenly father has all these wonderful attributes and is nothing but potential, is nothing but pure possibilities, and that everything is possible with this thing called God, now you have a better perspective, a better outlook, and you've stretched your consciousness where now you can allow new things into your life, you see, better ideas into your life. But if you stay on that same plane of action, excuse me, and think that you're nothing but a child of your earthly parents, boxed yourself in, you see, and you've told yourself a story. And what is the story you've told yourself? I'm just human. I can't do anything. I'm just human, you know. I don't have that. You must give up that idea. Of course you're human, but you're much more. You see, you're much more than human. You've got, well, you keep emphasizing this idea that, oh, I'm a human, I'm a human, I'm a human. That is absolutely true, but you're much, much more. You're much, much more than that. You are a spiritual being. You are connected to everything in the universe, and you're connected to every living thing on this planet. You're connected to everything. And you have to learn to see yourself like that. You have to give up the story that you're only human. And it slips in all the time, doesn't it? Oh, the mind touch. Oh, you're human. Yes, thank you very much. But I'm also much, much more. And I have these exact same qualities in me as this thing called God. And I can pull those qualities out of myself. And I can make myself what I want to be. And it has nothing to do with my past. It has nothing to do with my parents. And it has very, very little to do with genes, meaning not the gene that you wear, but your genes. So many people think they're, oh, well, I hear that all the time. Well, you have good genes, you have bad genes, you have, oh, the lady, they say my genes keep my hair from turning gray. I said, mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't do it. You see, you have to give up these stories, people. Any story that's holding you back, give it up. Just give it up. We are creating ourselves. We are creating ourselves moment by moment. And we create ourselves not only moment by moment, but thought by thought. Thought by thought. So you have to capture your thought and what your mind is telling you. And you have to be able to change that. You have to be able to change that. One of the things that I use, and I've told you this technique before, comes from Mary Baker Eddy. And for people who don't know who Mary Baker Eddy is, she founded Christian Science. And the Christian Science churches are all still going. They're also very wealthy. She made sure of that. So they are self-sufficient, very wealthy, and Christian Science people are able to heal. They're healing, much more so than religious science. Although it takes place in religious science, we heal people, but Christian Sciences have it down. Now, what did Mary Baker Eddy say? She said, "You must argue with your mind like a lawyer before the court, and you must always make sure that you win. You must always make sure that you win." And what do? We give in to our mind because we think our mind is powerful. And that's absolutely true. Our mind is powerful. But we have to be able to control that power. We have to be the one that takes control of the power of our mind and does something with it. The mind functions very well on its own, and everyone here should know that, because your mind will take you here, there, and everywhere. And it tries to convince you that it is you. The mind is always trying to convince you that it is you. You are not your mind. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use, and you must learn to use it. You must learn to use it. So give up the story that people think, "Oh, well, his mind is better than mine." All minds are the same, people. We get stuck with this thing, and this was years ago, too. We were taught that IQ meant something. Now they realize it doesn't mean that much, because you can change the IQ. It can go up. Now, when I went to school, if you had an IQ of 120, 125, you couldn't go any higher than that. That you were born with that. That was, well, I don't think they used the word genes then, but they told you that that was a given and a concrete thing. You see? Now they realize it's not concrete. And you can add to your intelligence. You can add to your IQ. You can do something with it. So give up that idea. If you think, "Oh, I have a low IQ or I'm high IQ," whatever it is, you can change those things, you see. So many people suffer from the idea that they think they're stupid. You know, no one is stupid, you see. And we have a wonderful saying in religious science: stupidity can be fixed. Ignorance is forever. Stupidity can be fixed. Ignorance is forever. You can change. You can learn. You can do. So give up that story that you think you can't, or somebody's smarter than you are. You see? Everyone is smart. We're all smart in different ways. You see? And we must say that to ourselves. Everyone's smart. There's no... Well, if there are dumb people, I don't happen to know them. You know, it's like the nasty, mean people. I don't happen to know them. Get them out of your life, you see. Get them. So what story are you telling yourself? What story are you living with that's keeping you from becoming the person you want to be? What is keeping you from that? Is it worry? Or is it the story you're telling yourself? Stop telling yourself stories. That's all they are. They make no sense whatsoever when you put them into the light of day. But we've lived with them for so long, and we've heard them for so long, echoing in our head, we've become to the point where we think that they're real. Where we think that they're real. See? And they are not real. And if there's anything going on in your mind where your mind is throwing out, yes, but remember what he said about you, or she said about you, or your parents said about you, or the family said about you, give all that up. They didn't know what they were talking about. They didn't know what they were talking about. And in families, you have to remember, in all families, we all grew up under the same roof. We all developed differently. But all families that were in, you're cast into a role. You're all cast into a role. You sell that with your siblings and so forth. That one does this, this one does that, this one does this, this one does. They cast you in these roles. Now what really gets them is when you want to change the role. They cannot comprehend that. No, they get all befuddled and so forth because they're used to you the way you are. And when you start to change and give up that story, families look at you and say, now who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Do you think you can get away with that? Do you think you can? Yes, I do, thank you. You have to tell yourself that. You have to tell them that. And this is not to be a combatant in any way, shape, or form. What I'm asking you to do is notice what your mind is doing to you. Notice if there's a story going on in there. Then realize that that story is a made-up story. And you can change the story into anything that you want. You can change the story into anything that you want. And you do that by becoming a witness to your own thinking. And then you can start to change. Like the young man who has the worry. And I'm worried, I'm this, that, and the other thing. Give it up. You don't need to worry. You can give that up. But most of the world is always worrying. It's always worrying. The world is set up that way. It's set up that way to cause people to worry about something. You see, I had somebody call me today and they said, oh, a fire started somewhere. Could sweep over us all. And I said, oh, give me a break. You know, I didn't even ask where the fire was, but oh, a fire started, you know. Then they want to go on with, we have no rain, the timber, you know, everything's dried up, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. And all of a sudden we're in an inferno of some sort. I don't want to hear that crap. I don't want to hear any of that. Now, see, that's a story that that person is telling. And then they have the nerve to spread it around. You know, when you spread a story around like that, it's called a mind virus. It's called a mind virus. Mm-hmm. And like a cold. If I had a cold, I'd give Paula now I'm going to give her a mind virus. But she's going to be thinking nothing but inferno. You know? I mean, who wants to do that to people? Mm-hmm. You know? I have people call me from 3,000 miles away. I had my sister-in-law call me. You're new, you don't know. My sister-in-law lives in the land of Nod. Mm-hmm. She called and said, oh, my God, are you all right?
What now?
And I said, well, of course I'm all right. I'm always all right. I said, How many times do I have to tell you people that I'm not going to be in the places that you think I am? You know, I'm saved from that kind of stuff. It was that water, she said, oh, the whole town, LA is flooding. It's just flooding. I said, well, there's no water around here that I see. I think she wanted me to start building an ark or something. Well, anyway, it turned out, and she didn't know the whole story, and then somebody else told me, no, some water main broke in Westwood. Oh, my God, she's been here. She knows how far away I am from Westwood, you know. But to think that they want to call you, I would live through the whole thing and never known anything was going on. But I have people from 3,000 miles away call, and they think they're doing me a service because they want to make sure that I'm all right. Well, of course I'm all right. And, well, why don't you know anything? I said, well, first of all, I don't listen to the radio, and I don't listen to news, and I don't turn the television on. So I'm safe here. I don't know what's going on. That's a story, because she's always in panic mode. She always is waiting for some big disaster. You know how people sit around wait for that? Oh, I told you what happened. Well, I don't want to hear that. That's just, these are stories also. And what is the story? That something bad is always going to happen, that the world is not a safe place, that this is not, you know, it's horrible. Did anyone see that commercial that came on television? I almost threw my shoe at the set. Vacation time, got to be careful. That's when thieves come in and get your stuff.
Every 10 seconds.
Attack. I look around and I think, is anyone attacking me? You know, I mean, it's too much. It's too much, these people. Don't let the world get you down. Don't worry about those things. Give up these stories and think that, see, these people, like my sister, they want me to join in with them and all that. They say, oh, yes, it's horrible. I'm knee-deep in water, you know. If I were knee-deep in water, you think I'd call and tell them? I don't think so, you know, because they wouldn't say, well, I'll give you help. No, they'd say, when's it going to be up high enough to drown you? You know? No, that's what they're looking for. It's horrible. So use your thinking, use your mind, see what it's doing to you, and give up. Give up the stories that you're telling yourself. Give those up. You don't need them anymore. When are you going to give up your story? I know your story, by the way. You have to give it up. It's not serving anymore. So, it's not difficult to give up a story, people. You're still the same person. You just have a different story, that's all. You know, people think, oh, if I give up my story, who will I be? You'll be the same person. You'll just have a different story. That's all. Not so difficult to figure out. Not so difficult to figure out. Learn to watch the movements of your mind, to see what this mind is doing to you. Here again, I'll go back to the idea that all is mind. All we're ever talking about is mind. Your mind, not my mind and not the mind of God. We're talking about your mind and how you can control your mind, how you can control your thinking so that you're able to give up these stories, so that you're able to start loving yourself, so that you're able to give yourself the approval that you're looking for. You see? If you're looking for approval, if you're looking for love, all those things we're always looking for in the wrong places. We're looking for all that stuff on the outside of life. The approval and the love that you're looking for is inside of you. Is inside of you. Find it there. Find out what's going on inside of you. And then your whole life will change also. But we're so convinced by the world, aren't we, that everything is on the outside of life. There's nothing on the outside of life, people. There is nothing out there. But the world wants to tell you that, to keep you going all the time, you see, to keep you going all the time, so that your motto is, I-O, it's off to work I go. You don't want that in your life. You want to be able to see what's going on inside of you. What's going on inside of you? You have to be able to pull your mind back into your own body. You see, we let our minds float this way, that way, and go all over the place. And now it's time to bring that mind back into our body. And here again, people say, well, how do you do that? You do that by sitting down and saying, I'm bringing my mind back. I'm bringing my mind back. All minds go out. They go out searching. Raymond Charles Barker. If anybody doesn't know who Raymond Charles Barker was, he was a religious science minister, and he had one of the largest churches. He could fill up Alice Tooley Hall at Lincoln Center in New York. And in his talks, he would start to wonder. And he would stop and say, coming back now. Coming back now. Because we have to keep bringing ourselves back to the center. We have to bring ourselves back to this center. And we can all do that. And when you do that, you'll find the love, you'll find the approval, and you'll be able to change your story. And it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you, Dallas. There's a basket.
It's on that chair.
On the chair in the back of the room for donations. And next week is question and answers. And what else? Oh, and Dallas has business cards in that basket, or phone business cards, phone numbers
on
his cards.
Wrong on those cards.
Oh, the phone number's wrong?
Remember the
okay.
They changed that.
Is it,
I didn't notice that either. Now I have to do that.
Is it on the website, wonderfulme.com? Is that the right phone number?
Well, not unless Andy changed it.
Not unless Andy changed it. Okay. Dallas does do treatments from home, though, during the week.
Yes.
I'm not sure how to get his phone number to you, though. Anyway, thanks, Dallas. What number is it?
323-229-0519.
Thank you, Dallas. See you next week, everybody.
And when is Labor Day, people? Does that